Please join me in the prayer of illumination. Let us pray. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to us in the waiting, the watching, the hoping, the longing, the sighing, and the rejoicing. Speak to us through your word and walk with us in these Advent days, we pray. Amen. Our first scripture reading is Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 to 7. It's on page 672 in your Pew Bible. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. This is the word of the Lord.
Generations yet to come will call me blessed. Beautiful. Thank you, choir. Thank you, Cheryl and Holly, for your solos. Beautiful. I want to begin this morning sermon with a bit of an exercise. Now, I'm going to say something. I'm going to ask you to think of something. I am not going to ask you to share this out loud. So, no worries. Just this is something for you to reflect on. What is something you were called as a child? A name, an endearing nickname, perhaps? Secret name that maybe your mother or father or grandparent that was dear to you called you? I don't want you to share, but I want you to think. What comes to mind? I will self-disclose. I'll share. Something that came to mind as I thought of this, my parents used to call me their snuggle bug. I love to snuggle, especially when I was a kid. Asher does it now too. Snuggle bug. So no need to say it out loud, but think on that name. Hold it in your mind. You know, if you're having trouble finding one of those, like a nickname, think about your name. I've told you many times that my son Asher's name means happy. My name means, Seth, means chosen or set apart. Seth was the third son of Adam and Eve, who after the folly of Cain and Abel was chosen to continue his family line. What does your name mean? Hold that word, your name, roll it around in your mind for a moment. The words from our beginnings are significant. They frame how we view the world and how we see ourselves in it. Some of us change our names to reorient to the world. When we marry, customarily we combine family names to signify solidarity and binding to one another. And beyond names alone, the words that we use to describe ourselves and others matter greatly. Our names and self-descriptive words often originate from a family story or a sense of place. From whom and where we come from matter. And that is what we will explore during this season of Advent. What words and places describe our beginnings? As we hear the familiar stories told again, what ways is God speaking a new word of hope to us once again as we anticipate the coming of Christ? What are our words for beginning? Today's gospel text directs us to the Mary narrative, the story of a young woman who receives a word from an angelic messenger, a word of blessing and calling. Mary is challenged to receive this blessing willingly, to yield to the matters of God's design. As you hear our reading today, think about what words Mary hears. And how those words echo still in our ears today. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. It's on pages 56 and 57 in your pew Bible. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and is in the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of our Lord. Now, who is Mary? For generations since, we have venerated Mary as the Virgin Mother of Christ. Around the world, Mary is a figure of immense religious importance. Throughout the Catholic Christian faith, as I'm sure you know, Mary is prayed to and reflected upon as an exemplary blessed woman who took upon herself the role of childbearer for the Most High God. But it's also important to think about Mary in terms of her context. A few things to note. First, Galilee, specifically Nazareth of Galilee. Later in the Gospels, Nathanael asks, "What good can come out of Nazareth?" Nazareth is in the north of Israel, away from the centers of religious and cultural power, but still under occupation from Rome. We might describe this as the frontier or the backwoods, depending on how you look at it. As always, it's important that we pay attention to our daily news, especially this week, as this region where Mary and Joseph live features in our modern times. Nazareth and Galilee are in the northern reaches of Israel, near the border of Lebanon, where the fighting has been going on for this last year between Israel and Hezbollah. This week's ceasefire agreement has been followed by descriptions of people returning home to their towns along the border, taking in what it's like to return to a war-torn place. It's a geographical center that is not far from our story of ancient Galilee. People are still fleeing and returning along those same roads, living on this same land, looking for salvation and peace upon this same ground. Now, it's also important that we look how Luke connects Mary to Joseph, her betrothed, who comes from the line of David. At this time in the Hebrew people's story, the line of David, the great king of Israel, has been scattered. There is no king on the throne. Rather, as we looked at last week, there are strong men like Pilate and Caesar who overshadow the political environment of the day. Whether Joseph will have an heir to the throne isn't a remote dream. These are a scattered, dispossessed people. So then why Mary? Why Joseph? Is there some secret reason Mary is chosen? Or perhaps even less comfortable to ask, is this just a story covering up sexual abuse, putting a nice spiritual bow on a spectacle of an unwed mother? Why Mary? I want you to go back and remember those words, those names that I asked you to recall. I hope you were able to find an echo of a term of endearment. If not, even the very nature of your name that was given to you with intention and hope, what do those things tell you about your beginning? I have a favorite album that I love to listen to, especially when I'm traveling. It's by Daniel Lanois, and it's called Here Is What Is. Interspersed through the album is a recording of a conversation between Lanois and Brian Eno, these two modern musical legends, producers, discussing creativity. I'd like to share an excerpt of this, because I think it pertains to the question of who is Mary, And perhaps, who am I? I'll pick up the dialogue between them. This is Eno talking. Well, I tell you one thing I would say about your film, your album that you're making, that would be really interesting for people to see, is how beautiful things grow out of rubbish. And that's not the word that he says, but I'm going to say rubbish. He goes on, because nobody ever believes that. You know, everybody thinks that Beethoven had his string quartets completely in his head. They'd somehow appear there and formed in his head before he, and all he had done was to just write it down and it would manifest to the world. But I think what's really interesting and what would be a really important lesson everyone should learn is that things come out of nothing. Things evolve out of nothing. You know, the tiniest seed in the right situation turns into the most beautiful forest. And the most promising seed in the wrong situation turns into nothing. And I think this would be important for people to understand because it gives people confidence in their own lives to know that that's how things work. If you walk around with this idea in your head that some people are so gifted, they have these wonderful things in their head, but you're not one of them. You're just some sort of normal person. You could never do anything like that. Then you live a different kind of life, you know? You could have another kind of life where you can say, well, I know things come from nothing very much and start from unpromising beginnings, and I'm an unpromising beginning, and I could start something. I love that. Who am I? Who is Mary? And who are you? As we move through the Advent season, asking about words that describe us and starting our own point in the journey, one of the first things we must learn is that God's work comes out of very little things, like you and me and Mary and Joseph. It would be very fitting for this story to be told of the messenger Gabriel coming to a young woman in war-torn Lebanon or Gaza today. Places of great upheaval and violence, worlds of uncertainty. And God's work of opening up a new way for hope in humanity, the promise of the Messiah, it comes into this fragile, broken, hurting, uncertain space, into Mary's perplexity. God moves to bring hope. I wonder, could it be the same with you? Could it be that God has design and purpose for your life? The very little thing that it may be. A purpose that is beyond what you could even imagine. As we dive into the story of Mary and the messenger a bit more, we remember that she is greeted and called favored one. Just preceding this story in Luke, we have a narrative of Zechariah and Elizabeth and the pregnancy which would bear John the Baptist. Zechariah is a temple priest, a favored one in society. And out of he and his wife's long-standing barrenness, a child is coming. Now Mary, a nobody besides her loose connection with Joseph, is called favored. Why? Why Mary? Why Mary? Because this is a story of God meeting humanity in an unlikely place to bring hope. The child does not come from a royal family in a palace. The child would be born to unlikely parents who are displaced from their rightful home and line. Just as Mary's cousin Elizabeth is a simple woman, so is Mary who has found grand favor in God. Could it be that God has something to teach us here? God finds favor in us when we don't even realize it. God knows our name and what we're capable of. The interaction goes on, and the messenger says, "Do not be afraid." Mary's story shows us how God brings blessing even to those who fear, even to the least of these, the outsider, the virgin, and the barren. And how does Mary respond? How would we respond? She says, "Here I am." Mary echoes the words of the prophets of Israel, the great men of faith like Samuel or Isaiah. As God calls to God's people, the faithful reply, "Here am I." Again, I want to draw you back to the name or nickname of love and endearment that you hold in your heart. Can you hear the voice calling that out to you? Calling you. A dear friend speaking in your ear this word of love. Well, if you can't, let's hear it today. You are beloved. You are enough. You are chosen. You are perfect, as imperfect as you are. You are my friend. You are my love. You are good. You are welcome. Can you hear those words, favored ones? Beloved children of God, can you hear and hold those words? I feel at times these words of goodness and blessing might break me, as I'm not worthy of them. But God's message comes to us. Out of the very little that we are a blessing. And how shall we respond? Today, as we remember the light of hope that begins to shine in Advent, we respond with, "Let it be. Here am I." It is my prayer that this season we will each take the time to quiet our hearts and listen to these words of blessing that God is speaking. I pray that you find ways to speak those words of love and truth to others around you as well, knowing that they need to hear it. I pray that we find those quiet spaces to acknowledge God's love for us, to receive it, to grow from the very little that we are into the people of purpose and action in a world that so deeply needs it. May it be so with us, according to God's will and blessing. Amen.